Hey folks, Sarah here from Manager Tools, hoping that you're truly absorbing every moment of value that comes out of our dear friend, Dan McGuire, sharing his deliberate executive waypoint. This week, we wrap it up with part number 3, and we'll be back in the new year with brand new executive tools content. Enjoy. Help others get those New Year's resolutions going and maybe inspire yourself a little while you're at it. Give them the jumpstart they need at the level they are at. Check out all the licenses we offer at manager-tools.com/memberships. No matter where they are in their careers, we have a license to help.
So tell me again, you mentioned post-it notes. I want to ask, first I want to ask one question. I want to ask a technical question or a technology question for you, because I know we're going to get it and you won't like it. So how many post-it notes did you end up one of these more? First of all, when you start this process, looking at all your preparation and so on, and you start the process of writing things down on sticky notes.
Yep.
How long did you set aside for this? Is this literally all day, or is it only 4 hours, or is it 2 hours?
Just going through my materials and dumping them on the table?
Right.
Takes me a solid 90 minutes.
Okay. So I'm going to schedule 2 hours for it.
Yeah.
Maybe even 2.5 the first
solid
time.
Solid 90 minutes.
And that's the first time.
That's just the first part.
Yeah, I know. I get that.
Okay.
And at the end of that 90 minutes, there's going to be the table is going to be covered in post-it notes, right?
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. How many?
Remember.
Because you say covered. Some people, Dan, you'd have to, if you do podcasts a while, you have to answer a lot of questions from people. You discover how differently they hear things than you say things. So, so let me just tease you a little bit. So you're saying you're going to have 50, right? 50
no.
post-it notes.
No, no, no.
Okay, so 75.
No.
100? 100.
Not me, right? It is a function. It's somewhat of a function of the size of your purview. Okay,
but
your life.
My point is, now tell us how many you had.
Usually 250 to 300.
I bet you nobody guessed that high.
I don't know. You got to figure, right? And the beauty of this thing is, you're going from the four growth perspectives, right? Personal,
right?
Career, right? Organizational, and company/industry, right? So all the materials you brought, they're covering those four areas of your life, because we talked about they're interdependent.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm going to make a major waypoint change in my career, the chances are it's going to roll right into my personal life. It could, you know, and certainly organizational, you know, and they're interdependent. And
right.
So you really do, it's a lot to read and a lot to cover, and you're going to pull insights out like crazy. So I would say easily 250 to 300. I mean,
so,
Mark, bring one of these big old stacks.
Yeah, more. He held up a quarter inch thick stack of post-it notes. Yeah. You mean like one of those big cubes of like 500 in it. Okay, so let me go back. You mentioned succession plans. So one of the things I do in gathering my insights, let me ask the question that's in the listeners' minds right now, Dan.
Sure.
You're not saying you're going to have, because you've had 250 to 300 insights, you're going to come out of this thing with 250 to 300 deliverables, right? You're not saying that.
No, I'm not saying
that. Okay, good. We're gonna do some distillation is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Okay, so let's go back now. I'm trying to help the listener be as specific as possible. So succession plans. Give me an example of an insight that would come out of a succession plan.
Mary has no backup.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay. I have three high potential people here ready for the next step. You know, Brad, Amit, and Raj. Okay.
Okay.
Phyllis has been in the role for a very long time and has plenty of backup. Okay. So these are all things that immediately I'm trying, you know, decisions are starting to form in my head
prematurely,
hey, I have some capacity here, baby.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Where, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I have to hire more people. Right.
Right.
You know, inside the organization, there's potential there. And this is measuring the potential.
I got to tell you, this is catnip. I have been telling people for years and their eyes glaze over and they don't believe me. And I, you know, as you've heard me say before, I console myself with being right. The CEO doesn't want you to hire more people when you think you need more people. Your CEO wants you to know your people so well that you can tap the potential that's not being tapped before you go outside the organization and spend more money and add to the cost base.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And my when I did come time to have a hiring conversation, it went, I'm considering Brad for this role. Here's strengths and weaknesses. You tell me. And I've had my manager say, no, I don't think so. Brad's right for the sales job. You need to hire somebody. We need somebody new here. And it was a you tell me conversation, not a I need a hire.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
So so I have just succession plans alone, I'll have 12, 13, 14 insights right there. Those are all potential for me.
And the insights are, again, really granular.
Granular.
And we don't
a
have
a sentence on a post-it.
Yeah. But we're not having to see these things come in front of our eyes and then think, I don't want to put that down because I only have the bandwidth to action 50 insights.
Yeah.
The insights, again, are going to be distilled, aggregated, collated, and so on. Yeah.
It's a brainstorming session, Mark.
Right. Okay, good. Okay. Right?
You're brainstorming out of your inputs.
More is better.
Onto the table. Okay. Right? More is fine.
Give me an example of a personal or a familial insight you might get.
I need Friday nights free from my daughter.
Okay.
Okay. I would like to be on the executive board of this charity. I need to free up five nights a month. You know, that sort of thing, right? And Saturdays.
Right.
You know, those are the sorts of things out of a personal life. And one of the other ones is, hey, you know what? I wanted to take some technology classes for myself to keep up with the organization. You know, I know when they are. I need to free that time up.
Yeah.
Those are kind of good examples.
And can you just give us some personal insight here? Because I think there are a lot of managers who are listening who are going, yeah, I can't really do that. I can't see my way to do that. But you're saying, as an executive, you can do it. And you just rearrange your schedule and you make those things happen and it works.
Yeah.
What's interesting is, of course, those managers actually have the ability. They just don't believe they have the ability.
And they haven't taken a day to sit down and look at it all.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So you filled up the table. I think now it's time to do a little bit of refinement, Mark. Okay?
Okay.
So
again, can I just go back though? I'm spoon feeding everybody a little bit because you've already done this several times. And I'm trying to be a bridge between
keep going.
Superman over here. but personal and family is one of the four in the box. Career and professional.
Yeah.
Organizational. Yeah. And then lastly, company industry.
Yeah.
So company industry might include I've got a pretty soft external network. And I may have to strengthen that.
Yeah.
Or I don't have any friends at our competitor XYZ, and I should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And okay, and that right there is one of the most neglected things I see. Because especially for people long time in a company, they look inward. But executives.
Yeah. Out.
Need to
look my out. Gosh. Yeah.
Right? And I think that's a big one. That also, you know, one of the things we're bringing here as a prep material is the company strategy, Mark. And I'm looking at my organization, and you know what? It says something about innovation in the company strategy, but boy, did we have a tactical year. There's some insights right there. How do we connect with innovation? How do we connect with the head of marketing? How do we connect with the head of strategy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you know, that's why I always make bringing the company strategy a piece of this.
You know, what's interesting about this. I just had this realization that you said we had a really tactical year. My experience has been with IT organizations. Now you were a CTO, and so maybe you tell me my sense of it is skewed incorrectly. But I would say that IT organizations are naturally predisposed to be nearly completely tactical. And then they resist when the business finally says, we need you to be a strategic partner in this. It's too important. Our digital, we've got to have digitization of things. And so the business says, no, we're doing X. And they ram it down tactical IT's throat rather than IT having leadership. True or false?
Like anything else, right? It's a little bit of a tug of war.
Guys, by the way, Dan's a nice guy. I think he's saying this is false.
Saying that it's in general, I found that to be true with IT organizations, but I always made sure that we had a group that was glued like a limpet mind to the business, right?
Okay.
So if they wanted to do a new type of trading or a new type of technology, or they were looking at new ways to build campaigns for customers and things like that.
Right.
I always had some people grinding through that stuff and looking at technologies and doing things like that. It was hard to fund, Mark, so I needed to be creative.
Yes.
But
well, you don't have the funding. The business does.
The business has the funding, and sometimes...
The business has the funding, right?
Yeah. The business is capital B. Right.
But they're overhead to you.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
The head of finance isn't seeing this marketing innovation piece clearly until you put something in front of them. You need to do some work to put something in front of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Got it. Okay. So we've got 300 Post-it notes all over my conference room table. Yeah. I'm a little overwhelmed. I assume you're going to help us get past this.
Yeah.
I am. Fabulous brainstorm. We created something good, but now it feels bad. I don't know what to do.
And we have everything written down from, I need to spend more time with my kids on Friday night, all the way through to, I need to train my number two on how to do board meetings. All the way, everything in between.
Right. Okay. And are they organized yet? Did you put them in four quadrants? No, they're all just random.
But let's face it, as you start reading through your documentation, putting them on the table, they're a little bit grouped
They're a little bit grouped.
You know, your org chart ones tend to stick to the middle of the table around the edges. You have succession and those sorts of things. But I'm not asking you to group them yet.
Okay.
So one of the things that I do is I look across the insights on all the table. And I want to say which ones, you know, some of these are, there's got to be, I have to bring this into relief a little bit. Some of these are a little bit more equal than others, right?
Okay, good. Yeah.
And one of the ways I do this is to put some texture to it. You know, we all have weaknesses and tendencies. One of the things I like to do, and Mark, I learned this from you, is pull out DISC, right?
Uh-huh.
And I say, who am I, which is, you know, a DC.
High D, high C.
Right? Yeah. So my questions I'm going to ask myself is, how do I be more of an I or an S? And how is that baked into here? So I'll ask things like, okay, which one of these insights has me investing more in relationships? Okay, let me mark those.
Let me make sure.
Yeah. How about new relationships, especially at other firms? Okay, let me mark those.
Because that's not a natural choice for you. You would be way more tactical and internal.
I'd rather do email operation. At 8:00 at night.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How am I?
Well, I tell you mine? That's a really good one. I would not have thought of DISC. I'm glad you did. I'll tell you what I would thought of, what I've thought of. It's because of my job. I'm not saying I'm particularly bright, but my perspective is different than a lot of people's. I'll tell you the one thing I would make first, family. And I'll tell you why. Because if I get family right, even if they fire me, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And what I have learned is the executive level jobs will metastasize and eat your life. And if you tell yourself, nope, there are going to be some hard stops and I'm prepared to put the risk where it needs to be at work rather than at home, because work is second and home is first. If I get the family stuff right, I won't be thinking, oh my gosh, in the next 90 to 180 days, I'm going to do all these new initiatives and everything. And it's going to, again, eat my life. And then suddenly 5 years have passed and I keep telling my wife and kids, you're number one, but I'm just on this train of, I always have an initiative and it always takes me till 8:00 at night. And suddenly it's Saturday mornings too. And then I'm not there on Friday night for Dana and Lauren.
Right. So my suggestion would be when you go through your personal notes, those go on red Post-its, man.
Red. Yeah. Like, right? like, okay. Yeah. And I will tell you something, folks, if you don't know it, if you haven't heard me say it, I'm going to say it again for the billionth time. You can get all of your work done in less time than you're spending now.
Absolutely.
The problem is you leave your end of day stop time open. And because of that, you're sloppy between noon and 5 or 6 or 7. If you have to go home to see Dana or to see Lauren perform or do whatever they do.
Yeah, I do.
Or to be at a board meeting for something, you will be much more efficient during the day and you will actually be living the idea that family comes first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also found when I did those things, My people grew faster.
Oh, that's such a great point. I think of that, but you're absolutely right. You have to say it. Yeah. No, I'm not going to be here.
Because I would say something like, hey, Carl, you know what? I got to get home.
Yeah.
You know, I have this big thing going tonight. There's a board meeting.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, it's Thursday. Why don't we meet on Wednesday and talk about it?
Right.
But I'd, if you could cover that, it'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, so, so I look at this and I challenge myself to say, hey, are you allowing people to innovate? Or do they have a voice? And the other one is, Dan, are you bringing energy or are you just execution man? Okay. Because I'll fall into that. Right. So I'll ask
you
myself.
You mean tactically, just where are we on this deliverable, yeah. this deliverable?
Yeah.
This deliverable.
Where are we on this? And, you know, how this is late. How do we do this? How do we do that? As opposed to, hey, you know what? Why don't we get some in? Why don't we be creative and find a way we can blast this not only on time, but let's do it a week early and let's make a big splash.
Okay.
Right?
I like that.
And my high eye would absolutely think of that. Oh, we're going to get so much credit. It's going to be big. We're going to have a party.
But you're not a high eye, so you would not naturally think about that.
No.
So you're saying you've got to embrace the other side because it takes all four quadrants.
That's all I'm saying is I just run a check on the other side, right? And what I'll do is, as I do that, I'll highlight some of these. You know, and certainly the family ones will come out. So now I have this... I've asked some questions and now I have another, just popped up a few. And then I have a few challenge questions. And these are things that I have in my back pocket, Mark, and everybody has these, where you had a moment of, you've been made humble by a mentor or a manager or somebody in your career. And you know that you have to always ask yourself this question or else you're going to be put yourself right back in the bucket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And one of the ones is, and Mark, you know me, right? Occasionally I can be cynical. Okay.
Oh, you're the master. You should go on the road as a stand-up comic with your cynicism.
So how am I performing as an example of the culture I wish to create? I once had an HR manager who is a good friend of mine, she still is a good friend, come up to me and say, you know, smart guy, you have this great positive organization, but sometimes you blow it and you say the wrong thing in front of them and you're cynical about things that are going on in the company and it's a bad example.
Yeah, it's a bad example and you get to be an executive and now you are the company. You know, I'll tell you an example. You'll appreciate this as a guy who is in the Merchant Marine. When the commander of a ship gets piped on board a ship, the commander of the ship his name or her name is the ship. So they say the USS Nimitz, when the commander of Nimitz arriving, doesn't say, you know, Captain so-and-so. They say Nimitz. In fact, when the commander of that ship gets on the radio, he says, this is Nimitz himself, right? And people don't understand that that's what executive life is. You are the organization. And if you're cynical, if you're vulgar like me sometimes, if you're too direct with people, if you're brusque with people, then that's who the company is.
Right.
That's good. I'm glad you shared that.
And you know, watch the throwaway comments I've been told.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just kidding around and I throw something out there and it's just inappropriate or in a way that is not motivational for the team.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, yeah, some of my hyperbole is probably not motivational for my internal team. Are you kidding me? How did we get here?
Yeah. So exactly. How do I improve as the head of, and I have like, as an example, if I'm the head of software development, I say, am I on a firm foundation or are there still things I need to learn? Because if you keep getting promoted, you're never on a firm foundation. There's always some blocks missing.
Yeah.
You know, so I will.
And you can't keep playing the same tune all the time.
Can't.
You're going to get to a level where you're going to play that tune and nobody's going to want to listen. Right. And if you haven't built up other abilities, you're on an island.
But while I'm doing that, I ask the next question, which is the next role is CIO. How am I demonstrating I can do that now?
Okay. That's okay. Good. So I'm going to have next role, you know, in terms of succession planning, I got to think about, okay, next role, what are, absolutely. If I want that role, what's the gap?
Two aspects, succession, Mark, and also your own development.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. Oh, I agree. I was thinking about, you know, I was thinking about it from the standpoint of development. Yeah. What do I not have?
Exactly. All right. So,
folks, if you say to yourself, I'm good, I'm ready for it. You're smoking crack. You need to put the crack pipe down.
Right.
The idea, if you're CTO and you're ready to be CIO and the CEO hasn't come and told you, you will be my CIO in 90 days, then you saying you're ready is a lie. You're not. You're not. And you're telling yourself that because it's easier to tell yourself that than to do the hard work of making yourself bulletproof and to be the one that gets chosen.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, one of the reasons I do this whole thing with these questions and, you know, pop the insights with questions and try to pull them out is because when else are you going to do this?
You're never going to do it.
When else are you going to sit down and really be introspective about this?
Now is the time. If you're at the tactical level, the idea that in the middle of that tactical level, you can float up to 30,000 feet, capture an idea that will help you in your development plan, and then go back down and be in that conversation again, zero.
Right.
Zero.
So now that you've done this, you're really familiar with the stuff that's on the table in front of you. Okay, you're pretty darn familiar with it. Mark, I would say that we're ready to distill these insights into some decisions.
Okay. This is the part. You're telling me we have 250 and we're going to turn them into five or
250,
seven?
Mark, but I guarantee you if you did this, already you have decisions popping into your head.
Right.
You're already saying,
I can glomp five of them together and say, I can solve this with this.
You're already saying, from a strategy perspective and this perspective and that perspective, I think it's time for a new product line. I have the people. I have I have this. It's already going to start popping into your head. Stop.
Right.
Stop. Okay. Slow down just a little bit.
So when I'm looking at the 250 and I'm already, you're saying no.
Because you're going to have a million. It's just your head's going to explode, right? It messes up the table when that happens, right? So, what I want to do is I want to get to a few high impact decisions, one, two, or three, that's going to represent my course change, right?
No, okay. What number would I have to give you for you to say, no, that's too much?
Four.
I thought you were going to say like seven.
Nah, you know what?
Okay.
These things, and you can, this is
you're going to go, well, because I'm going to go back to work and I'm going to have real work to do.
Mark, these aren't going to be small.
Yeah. Right? Okay. All right.
It's not going to be, I have a new assignment for Angie.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be, I'm taking on an entire new unit and these five people are going to be part of it. Mm-hmm. That's the type of decision I'm talking about. Right. So, what I want you to do, I want you to group those insights. Okay. Believe me, on the table,
This is the distillation process.
They are already starting to gravitate. I have my personal ones that kind of coming together, my personal development ones.
Right.
I want to take some classes. I want to learn more about marketing. I want to do this. Those are starting to come together. All the ones that have to do with delegation, they're going to start to come together. I want you to group them. Don't stack them so you can't see them.
Right.
But just move them to one
point. Visually group together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Got it.
You know, which ones?
Can I go back? Because we're talking about post-it notes here. I was going to ask you a technology question.
Okay, go.
There's going to be somebody who's going to write in and say, yeah, I'm not a physical guy. I really like my laptop. I like my iPad. Can I do this on my iPad? Now, I want to hear your answer. I already have my answer, but I want to hear yours.
So I'm more from the Jurassic era myself.
Yeah, me too.
I think the speed of writing and the visibility provided by looking across a table. I mean, you would have to be a lightning fast typist and you'd have to have a jumbotron in front of you.
Yeah. I mean, hypothetically, you could have a piece of software that you could say, I'm going to type one and I'm going to give it a 2x2 inch thing on a 60-inch screen. And then I'm going to put a couple of codes on it that give me groupings. I'm going to be able to push a button and they'll be moved to other things nearby and so on. It'll be a touch screen. I'll move them and so on. Look, here's my answer. Yeah. Dan just gave me the universal sign for stick your finger down your throat. So I'm just going to tell you guys, I don't believe it can be done. And I think if you're an executive and you're so tied to your laptop that you can't use a larger space than that, and use the especially unique connection between your hands, your eyes, and your brain, which existed long before your fingertips did and digital memory, I think you're going to be at a disadvantage. And I don't think there's any piece of software that will allow you to have 250 things and keep them all in your head the way your head is uniquely capable of surveying the field of 250 items and feel where things are and remember where things are simply because of the physicality and the way your brain sees things.
Not invented yet.
I mean, that's Dan he's shaking his head a lot. He's not a frequent podcaster, so you don't know this, guys, but he's shaking his head quite vigorously.
I am. I also like to stand up, back away from the table, walk around the table, and I just don't think there's another way to do this. Okay.
Yeah.
I have done it on a whiteboard though with Post-its.
And I like that one actually. Yeah, I like that one
because I stand up the whole day.
Well, yeah, my problem is if I do it over a desk, or you know, I'm going to bend over at the end of 3 or 4 hours, my back is going to start hurting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
So tell me what we're doing with distilling.
So we're still grouping them.
We're starting grouping them.
Some of the ones that have to do with building a specific relationship, say with customer care, those are going to come together. You're going to have one that you're going to say this goes with two different groups.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine. Just write another one and put them in both.
Okay. Right? Got it.
It's, you know, however you want to do it, it's really just, there will be some that will float out in the open. A lot of your family ones sometimes might do that. They're just too important. They don't go with another group.
Right.
But now take a step back. So now once you group them, I promise you, you are going to start forming even more, like, more solid decisions in your head.
In other words, three or four of them, it's almost like you're watching a movie where they highlight certain things so you can see how the protagonist is doing it. And you realize those four things are all similar and they go into this one larger thing.
Exactly.
Huh.
Okay. And you're ready to start making these decisions. But one thing I want you to do is that index card where you wrote down your little I will statements. You know, when I'm done with this, when I'm on my new course,
right,
I will never mind. I will have more time for strategic activity.
Right.
I will be more predictable for my family's calendar, and I will promote, a learning and the organization, you know, that sort of thing, right? Those were my I will statements back when I did this the first time, okay?
Right.
You're going to pull out yours. You're going to lay it on the table, and you're going to say, with all the things that I learned—
Oh, I like this.
From my inputs, personal, professional, organization, and firm, I have everything here. All these things are all these things I learned. I want to get to these conditions. What are the big decisions I need to make? And they're right there.
What are the big decisions I need to make?
Exactly. Yeah. Now you take out a notepad because you're going to start writing down decisions that you would like to make coming out of this session.
Boy, I kind of thought you were going to tell me to manipulate the Post-it notes a lot more and so on. But you're saying when you get a good vision of the field, it's just gonna float above it really obviously.
The thing is, it's going to start floating above it as soon as you start putting these things on the table.
Right, and you have to avoid the temptation.
And you have to avoid temptation because we're executives, right? You're going to want to use System 1.
Yeah.
Right? Which is
boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom. Oh, I could fix that.
Yeah. You
know? Oh, there's a team that has more than the other team. Oh, I know what I'm going to do with
that. I'll just move those people over there.
These two things, right? And then all of a sudden you look at your strategy and you're like, oh, I'm missing this whole piece. I'm going to need those people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you know what? I need to free up my weekends now. So I'm going to need to create harder delegation. And that means I need to get rid of this entire thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I might have to give it to a colleague, ask a colleague to take something on. You know, these are all things you won't get to unless you distill these things.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow. And so you mentioned it. You're going to write down a draft of your decisions.
Yeah, you're going to draft them.
Yeah. Okay.
And you're probably going to have too many, Mark.
How many? Okay, but the goal is three at most.
The goal is three at most, big ones.
How many? When you've done it before, have you started with 10 and then whittled them down to three?
Yeah, I have filled a page and a little bit of the back of the page.
Yeah, okay.
And what I usually do is I try to tune those decisions a little bit, and okay. I ask myself some hard questions that make me not do some and consolidate others.
Okay, so what when you look at this list, can you help the audience? What questions are you asking yourself to help you figure out what's important?
Right. So I have in my career been an overtuner sometimes.
Overtuner.
Yeah. Sometimes I move too many levers. Right? In an organization, right? So my first question I ask me is, I'll take each decision that I wrote and said, what if I did nothing with this now?
Okay.
Okay. Can or should this be deferred?
So in other words, in 6 months, will this still have value?
Absolutely.
Just to give me bandwidth.
Is this a January 3rd thing or is this a June thing?
Okay.
Right? If I take action on this, is there a way that this can actually make things worse? Okay.
In other words, risk assessment of risk assessment.
What are the unintended consequences that could happen here? Okay. So I need to do some thinking about these things. Well, if I hand off this organization, that means at the end of the year, you know, some of the real strategic things happening in the firm are no longer happening in my department. You know, I mean, is that a good thing? You know, what are the second order impacts? You know, just try to do a little bit of thinking. Like I said, this is a hard day. You're doing some deep thinking. What could be a better way to do this that's unpopular, but that I might be dismissing it? And Mark, I sat down and this question said, you know what? I've been managing around this person for 4 years.
Do it.
I got to move on it. I got to move this person out of this role.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah. And you know what I'm going to do it? I'm going to start tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
And that question is a very important question. What might be unpopular? Am I preventing myself from thinking about that?
Yeah. I got to tell you, you're probably not really truly an executive in heart and soul until you're willing to make tough decisions around people, because you know the organization needs to be in this direction and that person won't help.
Yeah.
And that may sound harsh, guys, and it's not popular in the world today, but the organization trumps the individual, whether you like to admit it or not. And the executive is the organization.
Right. And while you're thinking about it with people, if you're looking at one of your decisions has to do with an entire function that you have.
Right.
You know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And that'll impact... Sure. More than just a few people, you know, that those are the heart wrenching ones, Mark.
Yeah.
And that's all part of this. Okay. I try to look at my decisions and say, if it's a really good year, will I need these? If it's a really bad year.
Ooh. Okay.
How many, you know, how do these pop out? I try to look at it in different lights, shine different lights on it, different color light and see how they look.
Right.
Where's my bias inside of this list?
Ooh. Oh yeah, I can already think of some things that I'll enjoy doing that jazz me, as opposed to other stuff. So I could see biases already.
Yeah, maybe someone else should be doing some of those things.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Am I considering the immediate over the important?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a transition from manager to executive: immediate versus important.
Yeah.
Right.
If you create a list of questions like these and you go through these decisions, I guarantee you are going to take some of them off the list for now.
Yeah, you're just going to have to cut them.
They're just not going to be.
Yeah.
Other ones will come together because you're going to realize that, the second order impact from this one is going to impact. Yeah, I should really do these two at the same time. That's one decision.
Right. Okay.
It's one decision. You know, I'm not going to make a decision on these three people. I'm going to make a decision on this entire function.
Right. Yeah.
And then I'll work those three as tasks.
Right.
Okay. Where I'll work with the folks individually and do what I need to do. So it really does come together. You'll end up with a shorter list, and you may still have to trim some and say, what is the most high impact thing I can do? Right. If I just did one thing, what would it be?
So if you had three things on your list, did you always start working on all three, or did you work on the first and then finish and then work on the second and then work on the third?
I always picked ones I could do at once.
Okay. So the three that you mentioned, no more than three, those are all stuff that on day one, on January 3rd, you're going to be in the office making, moving in that direction.
Yeah. And that's why three was the most, Mark. Normally it would be two.
Because you're going to come back to email and meetings and changes in policy and everything else. Yeah.
Okay. So at this point, and the way this I would do it.
I got to tell you, I can't wait to do this.
It's a lot of fun, but at the end of this day, you're going to sleep pretty well.
Well, it occurs to me, I'd like to ask you for my own edification, personal edification. I could do this, but it's in my particular case, you know our company, you know Mike and I. Can Mike and I do it individually?
So there is a way I like to do it with a team. Okay, you start with the original documents together. You go off and you do some of it, and then you do the distillation together.
Okay.
So it goes off. It goes personal because you're going to have personal decisions. You're going to, that are going to come into it. But then you bring it together. The company ones you're going to bring together.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. I hate to do this to you on air, but would you be willing? We'll be happy to pay your fee. Would you be willing to help us with it?
I'd love to. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. Good. Yeah.
All right.
That's exciting. I mean, this is the kind of stuff, this feels leader-ish to me as opposed to manager-ish or writing a podcast-ish, right? This is charting the future of the company.
This is leader-ish because this is independent thought.
Right? Yeah.
This is really independent thought.
This and is getting of, out of the river.
Yeah. A lot of people out of prefer the comfort of the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not the comfort of the crowd here.
Right? Yeah.
This is real step out in front of the line.
Yeah.
All right. So now I have a couple of decisions, and I always do this test. What if I just did one? Which would it be?
Oh, so you're gonna make a big kahuna moment. Like, okay, I got three.
I'm gonna say
there's gonna be one.
Yeah. If there's gonna be one, which would it be? And then sometimes I'll say I can't just do one. I have to do these two.
Okay.
And then those will be the two. And if I can find any way to trim it, I will. All right. But three is max, Mark. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. But you know what? At this point, you know what I have? I have the decisions that are going to make my course change.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So before I break out the scotch.
Right.
Okay. Which I want to do.
All right. Yeah. You do.
I want to pat myself on the back. I'm going to take a little break here. You know, usually I'll walk around and everything because I have one last thing to do with the decisions. I like to expand each decision into a few steps in sequence just so that I can go to bed that night knowing the next five things I'm going to do on each one of them.
Yeah. You're not sitting there thinking, okay, there's a lot of work to be done. I still have to plan the future kind of thing. You've gotten a start.
I made this big decision. I'll think about it tomorrow. I don't
want to. Oh, my God. Yeah, that sounds bad.
So you're almost there. You're like on the goal line. For goodness sake, punch it in. Right?
Punch it in. Yeah.
All right. So I'll give you an example, right? I once made a decision that, I had all these insights coming together saying that I was overwhelmed. I needed more time. And everything pointed to the fact that it was all interruptions, Mark. Okay. And it was because I had 11 direct reports and each one of them had production issues once a week.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but when you added it all up, they ended up in various ways on my desk.
In your desk, yeah. Right?
So I made a decision, very controversial decision, that I would take my best manager at production management, a woman named Gina, and I'm going to have her own production support, okay, across the entire organization.
Right. So she weren't coming to you anymore.
She had a good feel for it. She was a great process person and a great metrics person.
Okay.
And she was respected by the business, right? Still not super popular.
Right.
Okay. So I said, my decision was I'm going to have somebody own production support tasks across the group to free up my time to do the board presentations that my manager wants me to do because I'm not focusing on them.
Okay? Yeah.
So all I did was I said, okay, what am I going to do? First off, I'm going to inform my manager, right?
Right, yeah.
Then I'm going to pull Gina aside and let her know what I'm doing.
Okay. Okay?
I'm going to pull in the rest of my directs. I'm going to let them know.
Okay.
I'll spend the time reallocating responsibilities among the directs.
Right.
Ensure
you just bought a bunch of her time and you got to
yeah.
figure out where some of her other time goes.
She's dumping yeah. some of her stuff and all the directs yep. are dumping some of the stuff on her and I'm reallocating her responsibilities accordingly.
Exactly.
A lot yeah. of moving parts. Okay.
Yeah.
I want assent from every single one of my managers that they will support her and this decision. Okay. I'll get that. And then once I have all that, then comes out the big announcement.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So in other words, you're doing this in your special off day, yeah. in your waypoint day, and you're just planning out the first four or five steps so that you're not going to go into the office on January 3rd, assuming you do this at Christmas break, and say, I need 2 hours to plan out what I'm going to do with these great big decisions.
Right.
You're actually, because of course, as you know, as we teach at Manager Tools, a decision is not just a choice. A decision is a choice and action around it.
Right.
And so what you did is you turned it into a decision. You turned your choice to do that into a decision by saying, this is the plan of how we're going to get there.
Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's almost all the way there, put it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
And all I do, and Mark, I'm not building a Gantt chart. I'm not writing down an exhaustive list. I literally listed, you know, talk to Rich, talk to Gina,
you know, yeah, that's all.
Reestablish the yeah. responsibilities, bang, bang, bang. That's all I did. That's it.
Well, the problem is if you don't do that and you go to work and you don't have that list in your head and then Gina pops into your office, you suddenly think, I need to talk to Gina without thinking through the first four or five steps, and then you don't talk to Rich. You talk to Gina. Gina's on board, and then you go talk to Rich, and he says, oh, nay, nay, I'm going to take her away from you in 90 yeah. days.
Or he says, oh, yeah. good, because I'm giving you a new yeah. job or something
yeah.
like that, right?
Exactly.
So, yeah. So that's the sort of thing. So all I do is I take my one, two, or three decisions, and I just build them out to be a little bit more of a vector and not so much as a scale.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Right?
And that's it.
That's it? That's it. Actually, done. You're done.
I'm going to bed, man. Toast.
Okay. But you're not saying you're going to bed because it's 8 o'clock at night. Does it take that long?
No. I finish at three in the afternoon, four in the afternoon.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, go home and I'm probably for that evening, I'm probably more relaxed
yeah.
than I have been in the previous 6 months. It always feels good.
You know what this makes me think? It's like, we need to figure out how to increase the cycle time so this happens more often.
It's expensive. I mean, think about the amount of time it takes
yeah.
and the gathering of information, the energy it takes. It's yeah. not an easy process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. I don't think of it as expensive if it's priceless, which is essentially this is core executive level thinking and doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right, but you're not going to leave us hanging there, right?
No, I mean, we're going to go to work.
That's the waypoint, but it's one thing. A waypoint is, okay, I was going this direction. Now I'm going a new direction. Yeah. So help me about the new direction.
All you did was turn the ship. It hasn't started moving.
Yeah, the ship, yeah. I like to tell people that it, you know, CEOs say it takes 7 years to change a billion-dollar organization if
exactly.
you really want to change the culture. It's like turning a super tanker.
I think
what is it like? Their turning radius is like 5 miles.
Yeah, I mean it could be if you turn 90 degrees, you know, right angle. By the time the ship is facing that right angle, you've still gone 13 nautical miles in the original direction.
13 miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
So depending on okay. speed and, you know, how much oil you're carrying. But it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Okay. So step four, final step or
final step
five.
Right? We're going to act now. Right?
Act. Okay.
So again, and you address this, right? You know, we only have good intentions, right?
At this point,
at this
we
point,
intend to enable these things.
We have
right?
intent. Yeah. right? Because we have Drucker who says it has to become someone's work responsibility, work assignment responsibility. Until then, it's only good intentions, right?
I love that. I love that, man. I really do.
That's so good, you know? And how many times you walk out of an offsite with an agreement and you know nothing's going to happen afterwards because nobody was assigned it, right?
Yeah.
So
that's more common than actually having assignments.
So, yeah. And then there's this thing about I made the decision. I want to act immediately, right? And Mark, you must have some, you're a Napoleon guy, right? You must have something that has something, you know, that says something that don't sit on your decisions.
Oh, wow. Right? Well, okay. Other than my quote from John Brown's Body, my probably favorite leadership quote of all time is Napoleon. If you start to take Vienna, take Vienna. Somebody actually asked Napoleon, what was his guidance? And he said, if you start to take Vienna, take Vienna. I mean, if you're going to go through all this work to put your best foot forward, only to drag your other one behind.
Exactly.
You ought to go back to being a manager if you're going to do that.
Yeah. This first day is a big day. And I recommend actually setting up some meetings, even placeholders with your manager and your team members, even before you do the full day session.
Oh, yeah.
Have the catalytic mechanism to have those meetings already in place.
Yeah.
Okay. If you work with a mentor or you have a colleague or even, you know, the day you do the waypoint, have the decision with your spouse if that's the person who keeps you honest, right?
Yeah,
but
sure.
Have those conversations of here's what I'm going to do. Here's my three statements of conditions that I want to meet. And here are some decisions I made. And I'm going to roll them out over the next few weeks. You should have somebody asking you, you know, once a week, how's it going? Are you there?
Yeah.
Did you have all the conversations? How was it hard? Have you really done it? Did you really build that relationship? You know,
I got to tell you, this is one of those things where Mike and I would build an office if we could, and it would be nothing but whiteboards on the wall, and all the walls would be whiteboards. And so anybody could brainstorm anytime they wanted or plan anytime they wanted. But that thing of every week having somebody check in, we all get so focused on, oh, I can put it on my computer and it can be in my computer and so on. It can't be in your computer. Look, the task and deliverable is fine. The tracking and so on. And so,
sure.
But I got to tell you, if you really want to do this, there's got to be something visible. If you're an executive, if you've got a conference room and you want half the conference room wall to have your plan. In fact, I would argue you're much more likely to achieve it if you share it publicly and everybody knows and there's tracking on it. And so if you are behind, everybody else is going to see that when they go into your conference room.
Yeah.
I mean, you might as well just put the sheet out into the wind and let people know. Fly the flag because.
Yeah. I work with a lot of people, Mark, and they'll decide on something like, I'm going to reorganize my team to do this. And I'll say, do you mean it? Because I'm going to call you.
Yeah.
I'm going to call
every
you
every week
again and again and again until it's done. And if they don't balk, they meant it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Go ahead. Call me.
And I do it, you know, with some folks. Yeah. I do it. You know, it's fun. So have somebody check you on your work and then start right away. Have that first conversation, whomever it's with. Have that first conversation and go.
Yeah. One of the things I hear from a lot of managers, and you'll have to give me a minute to set the question up, but I get the impression that a lot of managers believe that there is a right answer and they don't have it. So they go through this waypoint and they've come up with a better answer, but they're still comparing it to some perfect answer that some superstar person would come up with. Did you ever feel like, I feel good about these things, but not great, or... the waypoint is better than what I was, but it's still not the 64. It's not the whole ball of wax or whatever.
There's a couple of things. One, it is a fundamental change in your course, but it's incremental improvement in the big picture.
Okay.
Right? I am not going to become a concert pianist after doing this process.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But I may move some things around so I can learn piano.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And then the other thing is the comparison thing. You know, that's, you know, comparison's the thief of joy in some ways, right?
It is. 30% of managers in the world, that's what they do. Like, well, that's not perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. And, well, and hold your breath.
The what I've learned the most in my career is that there's a lot more win-win than you think there is. Okay. If your colleague's winning and you generally are happy about that, your life is going to be a whole lot better than if you're not.
Right. 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 That's really good. So, yeah. It's going to be a lot worse if you're not, if you're not happy for him.
But yeah. I would feel good because every time I've done this, I've felt great, especially at the beginning, the first few weeks, months, is because I have created change. And these decisions, these are palpable, man. Somebody owns something new.
Okay? Yeah.
I am coaching somebody through something new. I have moved some things around in my organization. I've created some energy. People know I'm going to do it and I'm going to back it up.
Right.
And not only that, when people ask you why you did it, oh my gosh, you asked yourself many questions that day.
Right.
You have the answers like this. Well, I thought about this.
Yeah.
I worried about this. I considered that. I considered like, wow.
And when you look really at all that through? Stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Then it all just coalesced for me. And it was clear that this is what had to be done.
Wow. Your colleagues will notice this in a positive way.
Oh, yeah.
And your managers will too. The leadership. And look, Mark, this is not uncommon, right? You study leaders in history and business. The separate yourself to observe, be introspective and take action.
Yes. I think this is a great example of what I see writers write all the time. You need to be somebody who drives change. Well, frankly, most of the writers who've never been executive, they don't really know what the heck that means when they say you should drive change. But this is what that is.
Yeah.
It's not just telling people to be on time with their deadlines, which is a big part of what managers do. It's also saying there's a better direction for us to go. I need to figure out what that direction is. I need to come up with a plan for it. And they need to ensure that the direction gets, we turn in the right direction and we follow through on the decisions I made that made us go from northeast to north northeast or northeast to north. This is what driving change is all about. And you can literally do it with no more than a week's worth of work.
And as an executive, it starts with you. Okay. I will address one thing that somebody brought up with me about this, Mark. Somebody said, well, you know, this is kind of, this is almost like a dictatorship type thing. You're driving all the change. My answer to that was no, because one of my decisions and one of my favorite decisions was I am going to pull together an offsite and we are going to sit together and determine whether we're doing A or B. Okay.
Right.
It was my decision to do it.
Right.
But my decision was I am not qualified to figure this out myself. I need everybody on side, including colleagues, people from other organizations, consultants, and everybody.
Right.
So I, you know, you got to be a little bit careful when, you know.
Yeah.
But I think as an executive, change starts with us.
Yeah. And we have to say, though, a lot of the people that say that, well, this sounds dictatorial.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really, I'm sorry, I'll just be blunt. I'll change my spots for a minute and just be direct and blunt and candid and say those people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They think that big organizations are a bunch of people sitting around holding hands. The fact is, if you're running a 1,000-person organization,
you
have to make the big decisions. You have to socialize them. You have to get input. You have to know what you're talking about. But ultimately, the decision is going to be yours. And if you have good trusting relationships with all your direct reports, they will recall that you've asked them all these things and you've thought about it. And you'll probably include them in the decision process going forward.
Yep.
But this idea that it's you're at the top and you're making decisions. Let me tell you, if the people at the top don't make decisions, you might as well find somewhere else to work.
If you're looking for a committee to form and you're an executive, you're not going to be there very long.
No, never going to happen.
No.
And the point that you made that I remember you making the first time was every single person who's listening to us now has the ability to do this on their own. It's in their toolbox now.
No software, no hardware.
Yeah,
you don't need it. You don't need anything.
You don't. Yeah.
Bunch of post-it notes and a table and time.
And you can use this when you've had a rough year and you need a reset.
Yeah.
You can use it when it's you've had a good year, but you realize now you have more capacity, or your team is capable of more, or you believe you're well positioned to take advantage of a unique opportunity, and you can hit the accelerator.
Yep.
You can say, okay, we can't keep going the way we're going, because pretty soon the world will pass us by. So we have to accelerate.
Yep.
Yeah.
When you're in pain, for gain, and just revision, those three things.
In pain, for gain, or just revisions. Yeah. Just, I want to be clear about what my revisions are going to be.
Yeah, it's in everybody's best interest if we do these things, you know?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, obviously I would like to operate where I'm being visionary all the time, but sometimes I did this, Mark, when things just went upside down on me.
Right.
You know? And, you know, we just announced a merger, and it's not going to be a pleasant one. I need to think through what I need to do for the organization in order to get through this. With my family.
Yeah, just in response, not as a leader, but in response to an unavoidable event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's happened.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and I believe, look, this is this incredible power in this. And the most exciting, just watch what happens. The reactions are priceless.
Really?
Everyone from your team, especially my colleagues, like, dude, what did you do in that staff meeting? Like, what have you been doing? Like, what did you do over the holidays?
Yeah.
Did you take any time off? I'm like, yeah, I did. I worked one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Sounds bad.
It's just never, every single time I've done it, it's been great. So I really hope that the folks get something out of this. This has been, I love doing it. It's just a lot of fun too.
The Dan McGuire Executive Waypoint. It's not just an executive waypoint. It's the Dan McGuire Executive Waypoint. If they can be called Horseman's Laws, this can be called the Dan McGuire Executive Waypoint. And you could just see 10 years from now, some executive is going to send us a note, copy both of us, and say, somebody asked me what I did. And he's going to say, I McGuired it.
I McGuired it.
And and for once, McGuire won't just be
a hump.
Hump on the horseman curve. All right, folks, this has been a treat for me, and I hope for Dan as well. Dan has given his time freely to create for us the first ever Executive Tools Cast. And Dan, I miss Mike, but I'm just thrilled that you were willing to share this with us.
I miss Mike too. This has been a lot of fun, Mark.
Our thanks to Dan McGuire and to the hundreds of thousands of listeners and tens of thousands of licensees who have made Manager Tools over 16 years possible, that led to our being able to satisfy so many people's requested desire to hear from us regarding executive tools. See you in a couple of weeks.